So, tonight, we are continuing on with our ecstatic seminar series. Actually, this has been advertised all over the world. Many people are waiting to hear the MP3 recordings over the internet. The famous Suva seminar series will be released very soon for worldwide internet listening. So don't think the audience is limited to just who's here tonight. Many, many people will hear this beyond this room. So tonight our seminar topic is loving the Vaishnavas. This is the most important topic actually. Because unless we love the Vaishnavas, we cannot love Krishna. Some people will say, I will love Krishna, but I don't want to love the Vaishnavas because the Vaishnavas are not very nice. We find so many faults with the Vaishnavas. So, Krishna will not accept their bhakti, their so-called bhakti. They are called Kanishta Adhikari. I have sometimes seen in traveling to various places, for example, we'll be giving the Sunday feast lecture. And some members of the audience, instead of acknowledging that somebody is there glorifying Krishna, they will rigidly keep their attention fixed on the deities the whole time, as if nobody is giving a lecture. These were actually people that I knew. I formerly was doing a business. And they used to be my customers, so we personally knew each other. And I was visiting their city. But I was seeing that actually their mentality was Kanishta Adhikari. Because we were giving lecture, but they refused to even I was smiling at them. They refused to even acknowledge that I existed. They were just proudly looking at the deities. I was sitting here lecturing, they were looking at the deities, they wouldn't even glance for one second at the speaker. And we've also seen this in other places as well. Someone will come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and they just sit there during the lecture, they just sit and look at the deities as if nobody is giving a lecture in the temple room. This is a sure sign of a Kanishta Adhikari. Someone who wants to respect the deities, but does not want to give respect to the devotees. Such persons are not on the spiritual platform. They're on the mundane platform. So, this class tonight, or seminar, is to teach us how to become subtly situated on the transcendental platform through the most important activity of loving the Vaishnavas. As we repeated in previous classes, Krishna says in the Adi Purana that one who is my devotee is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, that is my actual devotee, you see. So how do we become the devotees of the devotees? That's what we're trying to learn tonight. There's actually specific instructions given by Rupa Goswami in this regard. Rupa Goswami is a very important acharya in our line of succession. He is an immediate follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, in this movement are sometimes designated as Rupanugas, which means followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami is very, very important. He is given the nectar of devotion. The summary study, actually it's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in its summary study form is the nectar of devotion. He is given the Upadesh Amrita, or the nectar of instruction, which Prabhupada has translated and purported for us. So in text 4 of this book, this wonderful, it's only 11 verses, but it's so full of meaning. Everyone should study this book because it's not a long book and it's so essential for Krishna consciousness. In the fourth text he says, Dadati pratigrinati ghuyam akhyati pratishati bhungte bojayate chaiva shadvidhing pratilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So it's very simple. You give a gift to the devotee. That could be the form of a, you know, some you know, japa beads or a picture of the deities, or it could be service also. You may offer a devotee a ride somewhere, he needs to get somewhere, you offer to drive him to that place. You see, that is a gift. You're offering a gift. And then also to accept gifts, because unless we agree to accept gifts, then no one can give gifts. So it's not wrong to accept a gift from a Vaishnava. Actually, it is a regulated principle. One should accept gifts from devotees, because that enables the devotee to be able to give the gift. If no one agrees to accept any gift, then how someone can give the gift? So, to give gifts and to accept gifts. First two items. To reveal one's mind and confidence. In other words, you open your heart up to another devotee. You tell him what's going on inside you. This is another important thing. We have to have devotees that we can fully open our hearts to, because that will help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. And we have to be willing to hear other devotees reveal their mind to us also. Not that we just want to tell our mind to someone else, but not willing to hear someone else's mind. So it goes both ways. And the last item is to distribute prasad to the devotee and accept prasad. So this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it is founded on this principle of these six loving exchanges. We are associating together on the basis of these six loving exchanges. That is the meaning of the Krishna Consciousness movement. If somebody asks you, what is ISKCON? What is the real meaning of ISKCON? Is it the buildings? Is it the vehicles? Is it the bank accounts, the restaurants, the farm? No. It's the loving exchanges between the devotees. We can lose everything else material. All the buildings could be taken away. All the bank accounts could be frozen. All the vehicles could be confiscated. But if we have the loving exchange between us, ISKCON will never be broken. But in spite of having so many buildings, so much money, so many vehicles, if we don't have loving exchange, then ISKCON is dead. Finished. So therefore, this must be emphasized. Most important thing. So how will we accomplish this loving feeling amongst all the devotees? What does love mean? It means you're willing to give unconditionally. In the material world, thank you. In the material world, we may give to someone, but we have some motive. I want to get something in return. See? That's called, I'll scratch your back if you'll scratch my back. I agree to gratify your senses if you agree to gratify mine. So we'll make a deal. You see, we'll get married and we'll have sex pleasure. And then, but if I'm not enjoying you sexually anymore, then I find someone else. That's the so-called love in the material world. It's based on pleasing your own material sense gratification. So in Krishna consciousness, the program is you learn how to give love without expecting anything in return. That is the transcendental platform. Spiritual love means pure giving, the pure mode of giving. This description was given by Hari Sariprabhu of Srila Prabhupada, that he gave to us more than we ever gave to him. So whatever reciprocation we did do with Srila Prabhupada, then he would give us even more love. In other words, there was no way we could ever give Prabhupada back as much love as he was giving us. The pure devotee can purely give love. There's nothing holding him back from giving unlimited love and kindness. And to the extent that and the devotees can appreciate and reciprocate, then he can give even more and more and more and more. So this is the actual way to create an atmosphere of very powerful, loving exchanges within our society. We have to always be in the mood of giving service to the Vaishnava. And what is the best service we can give them? We have to facilitate their Krishna consciousness. That is the best service. I think I need some water. Actually, there's nothing more ecstatic than facilitating someone's Krishna consciousness. That's called preaching. There's nothing more enlivening than preaching, because preaching means I'm trying to facilitate your Krishna consciousness. That's why we're so enlivened when we're preaching, because we're trying to facilitate someone else's Krishna consciousness. An interesting phenomenon that we see in our society is this. When a new person is coming, then we're all enlivened, we're preaching to them. But then once they join, we don't care about them anymore. See? That's a big problem with our society. A big problem we have. There's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Once we become familiar, then I don't know you. You're not very important. But see, Prabhupada was never like that. He was never like that. The Srila Prabhupada, everyone, every single devotee was extremely important. It didn't matter if they were a big sannyasi or just a simple brahmacharini. It did not matter. Prabhupada inspired so many boys and girls throughout the world to give their whole life to this mission. because he unconditionally loved each and every one of us. And we felt that. Everyone felt that Prabhupada personally loved them and cared about them. Even we didn't get so much association. Even we didn't get to go on a morning walk, or we weren't in his room, we were just hearing the lecture when he would come to our temple. Every single devotee felt that Prabhupada loves me more than anyone. And the devotees wanted to give their love to Prabhupada in return, to reciprocate the love that Srila Prabhupada had for us. So our movement will be successful if we can purely represent that loving mood of Srila Prabhupada in our dealings with each other. That's the real, that will make us or break us. If we can keep that loving spirit that Prabhupada gave alive and well, then this movement will conquer the world. Because nowhere does unconditional love exist except in this movement. Everyone wants to get something out of it. Everyone. There's always some ulterior motive. But here, there's no ulterior motive. Srila Prabhupada simply wants to give everyone Krishna. That's all. Nothing. He wants that everyone should be happy through every corner of the world. Every Indian, every Fijian, every American, every Australian, that everyone throughout the entire world, man, woman, and child, should be totally, completely happy and satisfied by reviving their dormant Krishna consciousness. So the same enthusiasm we feel when we're preaching to a guest, to give them Krishna, to attract them to Krishna, we have to keep that feeling alive at all times with all of our members. That will keep things proper. We always think, it's my duty to help this person connect with Krishna at every minute, to be totally happy and satisfied. That's how we have to think. That every member of the temple should be happy in Krishna consciousness. If we dedicate ourselves in that way, the loving feeling will naturally be there. That's the greatest gift. That's one of the items, giving gifts. But what greater gift is there than giving Krishna to someone? And what does it mean to give someone Krishna? It means to make the process of Krishna present to them by your example, by your attitude, by your words and your actions, that there is nothing more attractive and wonderful than being Krishna conscious. That's what we have to do. We have to show that example at every minute by actually, as they say, charity begins at home. We have to put ourselves in the proper position. This is the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Position, heal thyself. So our first business is, I must fully surrender myself to my Guru Maharaj. I must fully surrender myself to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada given in these books. Fully, completely. And since I'm not there yet, I'm far from it, I have to be striving diligently to come to that platform as soon as possible, at every minute. There's different stages. There's a sadhana bhakti platform where you're following rules and regulations to purify yourself. And then there's a raga nuga platform where you're spontaneously absorbing Krishna consciousness. We are not raga nugis. We are sadhana bhakta, struggling to conquer the mind and the senses. That's our present position. So if we're going to have love freely flowing, we have to first love ourselves by demanding, strictly putting a demand on ourselves that you must become a pure devotee. So tell yourself, you must become a pure devotee. You must do that. Every thought, every word, and every deed must be pleasing to Guru and Krishna. The first thing. First, love yourself by demanding that you should become a pure devotee. And as you put that demand on yourself, you see, the program is strict with yourself and lenient with others. You should be very heavy on yourself, but very, very light and soft and sweet with others. That's a general rule. Prabhupada says, strict with oneself and lenient with others. So be very strict on yourself. Realize that you are a rascal. You are a snake. That's all you say. You're a rascal. You defy the authority of Krishna. So we have to feel that I'm a rascal, I'm abominable, wretched. And we have to submit ourselves very humbly before Krishna, before Prabhupada, before our Guru Maharaj, before the deities, and beg their mercy that I can become pure. And if we're in that mood of always trying to take shelter of Krishna, then we will taste some nectar. Every day we will taste nectar. We'll experience nectar. Ongoing nectar will be tasted. If we're really serious about becoming pure in spite of our faults, that sincerity will enable us to taste a sweet nectar at every moment. And if you're tasting nectar, it's not difficult to share it. If you're really tasting it. If you're not tasting it, and you just try to make a show, forget it. You know. Maybe you can fool some people. You can say you can fool some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time. You can't fool all the people all the time. So, when I make a show of tasting the nectar and try to attract people, it's not very effective. We're actually tasting the nectar of Krishna consciousness by realizing how fallen we are and helplessly placing ourselves at the lotus feet of Guru, the lotus feet of Sri Nama Prabhu, the holy names, you see. Humbly placing ourselves and begging their mercy to save us. We will taste the nectar and then we can actually share that nectar with others. The bliss that we are tasting, we can share that nectar with others. And that is real love. If you can share the nectar of Krishna consciousness with others, that is the greatest love you can give. So, we will open it up now. Maybe there's some practical questions. Since we're talking a very practical matter, how to have love going back and forth, you know, between all the devotees. Maybe some practical questions. Some of you may have some practical questions. How we can have very nice love, loving relationships between the devotees.
Did you mention that in having a loving relationship with devotees, we try and please the devotees. Now, say for example, you are trying to please me.
Turn off the fan. Someone. Okay.
Say for example, like you are trying to please me.
Mm-hmm.
So on what, how do I get pleased? Like, you know, I may be acting very much on the mental platform. Therefore, you may be doing something very nice. very Krishna conscious,
yes.
But I'm not getting pleased.
Yes, yes, right. It's an interesting point you've raised, because we do say that if you please Krishna, you please everyone. When you water the root of the tree, all the leaves and branches are nourished. But the fact is that people don't realize how they're being treated. The general population, actually you're doing the highest service for every living entity in the universe when you surrender to Krishna. But they may not appreciate that because they're in the mode of ignorance. So even amongst the devotees sometimes, someone may not appreciate what you're doing, even though you're doing the right thing. That's their problem. They may even criticize you for what you're doing. Find fault with you, call you bad name. Well, that's part of our purification, having to tolerate abuse sometimes. You give someone your love and they don't reciprocate it, and you get cruelty in return. So that's instead of being angry, just have to think, Krishna is putting me in this difficult situation to purify me even more. That's what you have to do. You have to think Krishna somehow has arranged this for my purification, this situation. So let me become more pure, more Krishna conscious. Thinking, well, if I was just more Krishna conscious, then maybe I could, you know, I could break through. And they would be, you know, satisfied. I just need to become more Krishna conscious. So take it as a challenge to become even more Krishna conscious. If by your preaching the people are not appreciating, then try to become more humble, more Krishna conscious. There's the example given of Prabhupada Saraswati. He gives the method of the preaching. He says, you fell down at their feet and you flattered them 100 times. My dear sir, you are so learned, you are so magnanimous, you possessing all good qualities, sense control, kindness, etc., etc. Flatter them 100 times and they finally say, all right, what do you want? I request, my dear sir, whatever you have learned, kindly forget it and accept this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So that is one method. You simply have to become very, very, very humble, even if they're a complete materialist, and just flatter them 100 times until they finally agree to hear what you have to say. And then you, in a very humble way, you tell them the truth. So there are methods called humble persuasion. The real insider secret is, if your motive is genuine, you actually want to serve that devotee, then time is on your side. Time's on your side. If that person has some kanishta, you know, mentality that doesn't allow them to appreciate, and you're sincerely wanting to help that person in a humble way, you're not like proud, you're sincerely wanting to help, and you will win out eventually. You'll be victorious. So just be patient. There's three things: patience, enthusiasm, and determination. If you're enthusiastic and determined, but you're not patient, then you're in the mode of passion. If you're patient, but you don't have any enthusiasm or determination, then you're in the mode of ignorance. But if you're determined, patient, and enthusiastic, then you're in the mode of goodness. So do like that. Be very patient, at the same time, be very determined and very enthusiastic. And you will be, you will win out eventually in trying to attract that person to Krishna. Questions, Martin? Yeah.
I have a question. Yang jelas Gurudeva ini lecca. Gurudeva ini lecca. Kamu tu semua orang ini lecca ini jelas. He said, how can the devotees stay together? He was saying that when the devotees pray together, they will stay together.
Yes.
Praying together means they are attending all the programs together.
That's right. So he's making a very nice point from His Holiness Tamara Krishna Goswami that devotees, if they do the activities together, they pray together. There's a saying in English, a family that prays together stays together. So if we come together for Mangal Arati, Tulsi Puja, Guru Puja, Bhagavatam class, we go on Harinam and Kirtan together, we do festivals, the more we do things together, that will make our relationships strong, as it were. So we should stay tightly packed up in the association of the devotees. Very important principle. The more we associate, the more we have double exchanges going on, this makes the relationship stronger and stronger and stronger. Questions? Yes. She's saying that the family that prays together stays together, but they have to, the motive of coming together has to be pure also. Otherwise it will lead to conflict when they come together. Whereas I'm coming together with some material motive. Material motive is there. And that will contaminate or cloud the sangha or the association. So we really have to strive to come together on the basis of developing pure devotional service. Understanding that anything else is a waste of time, basically. Not try to come together for, you know, I want to become a famous leader, spiritual leader or something like that. So I'll join this movement and do a lot of preaching so people will worship me. You may get the worship, but you won't get Krishna. You won't be happy. So we should really understand there's only one thing that can satisfy, and that is pure devotional service. We have to come to that mood of pure devotional service. And if we come together on that basis, then it will be quite easy to develop loving relationships between the devotees. It will follow automatically. If we have no desire except to serve purely, then naturally when we're with the Vaishnavas, we'll serve them purely because they're all Krishna's representatives. A Vaishnava is not an ordinary person. It's stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, sadhu-sangha, sarva-shastrikai, lava-matra sadhu-sangha, sarva-siddhi-hai. All the shastras declare that even one moment's association with a saintly devotee of the Lord can bestow all perfection. It just takes one lava matra, which is 1/11 of a second. If in the proper mood, pure mood, one associates with a Vaishnava for even 1 second, fraction of a second, then one can achieve all perfection. So we should really strive for quality association with the devotees. Pure, unmotivated association with the Vaishnavas. That will easily enable us to taste the sweetest nectar, Krishna consciousness. Questions more? So everyone's satisfied that they're able to purely love and serve the devotee. Everyone's satisfied that the relationships between the devotees are all pure and very wonderful at every minute. There's no difficulties. What's he saying? I'll let him repeat it, it'll be easier. Yes?
Yes.
Guru means that he purely represents Krishna. So, by serving Guru, you are serving Krishna. Transparent means he is not bringing his own agenda, but he is simply purely representing the desires of Krishna and the teachings of Krishna in all of his activities, all of his words, etc. So that is the meaning, transparent via media. Just like you receive a letter from a friend, the postman, he must honestly deliver that letter. He cannot open the envelope and add some message or subtract something from the letter. And he is not transparent. What Guru is transparent means he keeps it intact. He doesn't alter it. So, that contact with Guru is required. Sometimes people think, well, initiation is not so important. You just have to be Krishna conscious. I hear that argument sometimes. But Prabhupada clearly explains in the Nectar of Devotion, introduction, that without initiation, the connection with Krishna never takes place. It's a vital thing. Krishna prema is the perfection after going through many, many different stages. Initiation happens in the third stage. There is faith in the process, there is associating with the devotees, and the third step is initiation. And then from there, the impurities are removed from the heart. From there, you become fixed up devotee. From there you develop taste for the name. From there you become absolutely attached to the name. From there you have bhava, ecstatic emotion within the heart, manifesting, and finally you achieve pure Krishna prema. You realize your eternal identity in the spiritual world. So the Guru is absolutely essential. That's the third step. If someone has a recipe, they want to make a cake, but they want to leave out the baking powder, will their cake come out properly? No. The first five items of how to discharge devotional service given by Srila Rupa Goswami, they all relate to spiritual master. The first five items in the list of how to discharge devotional service. So Guru is absolutely required. Without Guru, we are nowhere. Prabhupada very often quoted the English maxim. He said, if you love me, love my dog. So he said, Guru is the dog of God. So God is a very big man. It's difficult to approach. Just like, consider that Bill Gates came to visit Subha. And he's out in the park. Can you walk up to him and approach him? No, he's surrounded by bodyguards. He'll never get close to him. He's always afraid of being kidnapped wherever he goes. Constantly fearful. But it just so happens he's walking his dog and he's letting the dog run free without the leash. And so that somehow that dog comes up to you and you pat the dog on the head and the dog likes you. So now the dog is there with you. You see? But the dog likes you, and you like his dog. And now he has to notice. Because he's coming to get his dog back, and now there you are with his dog, and his dog likes you. So in this way, you get your connection with Mr. Bill Gates. Because he made that connection with his dog. So Prabhupada gives this example, the Guru is the dog of God. So if we make that relationship with Guru, then we have an inside connection with Krishna. Because our Guru, then he's connected with his Guru, he's connected with his Guru, he's connected with his Guru. And it's a whole network of inside connections which gets us into the spiritual world. They sometimes say it's not what you know, but who you know. You know, when you're dealing with a government official, you know. It's who you know on the inside, you know, can get you around, you know, you can dance around the rules and regulations, you know the right person, isn't it? So Guru can get you in. He has that special connection, inside connection. So you just have to get that inside connection with Guru. Become confidential servant of the spiritual master. And then, now you have your special connection. Sometimes we think, yes, I will serve my Guru, but no one else. That doesn't please our spiritual master. We saw that one time. There was one of my godbrothers. He had a very negative attitude about the whole movement. He just wanted to serve Prabhupada and no one else. He had such a bad attitude. Criticized the GBC. I mean, he criticized everyone. I never heard anybody ever criticize the GBC. Of course, nowadays it's common. But in those days, no one criticized the GBC. Prabhupada was on the planet. We're talking 1972. I mean, I was shocked. He was criticizing the GBC. And so anyway, then he met Prabhupada in Los Angeles. He was complaining about this. And you know what Prabhupada told him? It was heavy. Prabhupada's order to him was, give up this Krishna consciousness. Just earn money and enjoy it. Because he was so critical of the devotees. No matter what Prabhupada said, he just kept criticizing. Prabhupada finally just said, get out of this movement. Just go out and earn money and enjoy. He told him that. I was shocked. I knew this devotee personally. And he was ordered by Prabhupada to give up Krishna consciousness and earn money and enjoy. Because he was so offensive, so critical of the devotees. So, you know, he said he wanted to do whatever Prabhupada told him. At the same time, he really couldn't do that because Prabhupada told him to work for the devotee. So, the Vaishnavas also, they are representatives of Krishna, not only our Guru Maharaj. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. He says, Anandi balo hari vaja vrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Mojai Aman. Ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, worship Sri Vrindavan Dham, and within your heart always meditate on the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Vaishnavas. So actually we worship all the Vaishnavas. Especially the Guru we worship. But not only the Guru. Worship all the Vaishnavas. According to their advancement. We deal with them accordingly. If a Vaishnava is more senior to us, then we are very eager to associate with him. We serve him with love. We hear submissively and take instruction from him. If the Vaishnava is on the equal level with us, then we make friends with that devotee. We share realizations back and forth with that Vaishnava. If a Vaishnava is less advanced, or he's just thinking about becoming a Vaishnava, someone who's less advanced, then we're very kind to that person. We give them all help, all encouragement, all well wishes, so that they can come to the transcendental platform. So in this way we deal with every Vaishnava in a loving way. All the Vaishnavas. That's the more we can love the Vaishnavas, the more we'll become dear to Krishna. Krishna loves the Vaishnavas. They're more dear to him than anything. So if you love that which is dear to Krishna, that is how you become very, very dear to Krishna. Any other questions? Yes, one has to be a little, you have to use some discrimination. If you reveal your heart to some neophyte blabbermouth, you know, some devotee who's not very mature, you're just going to go blabbing around all, well, you know what Nandi Mukhi said, blah, blah, blah. That's not intelligent. Revealing your heart, just like, you know, your husband, for example, or his confidential devotees that you know and trust, like Sai Ram Prabhu, you see. You reveal to them what realizations you're having about Krishna consciousness, or difficulties you're having in your practice, and ask their advice on how you can improve. If there's a confidential trusted associate, you can ask them, what do you think, how do you see I'm doing in my Krishna consciousness? Kindly help me understand what are my defects so I can overcome them. See, these kind of things. It's very important to have that kind of, you know, trusted, confidential advisors. I have many of them in our movement. I'm always looking for more amongst my seniors, my peers, my godbrothers. Some time back I was having some, working through some difficulty in my relationship with various godbrothers. So I called up one godbrother and revealed everything to me, and to him, I mean to say, and he gave me so much help. Hours and hours of time he spent helping. Just telling me how he had conquered the difficulty and he was in a similar situation. So that by making that, opening my heart up to that one godbrother, it was just like a gold mine of mercy I tapped into. He gave me so much kindness and helped me through a difficulty. So we shouldn't just be a little, independent Krishna conscious entity. We should have devotees that we can open our hearts up to and reveal what's happening and get help from them when needed. And then we should also be willing to give help to others also when they need. Sincerely try our best to help them, and if we cannot help them, help them find someone who can help them. Questions more?
It is more important to serve Krishna or serve the devotees?
What's more important? Krishna says it's more important to serve the devotees. He says, if you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. If you're the devotee of my devotee, then you're my actual devotee. So according to Krishna, it's more important to serve the devotees than it is to serve him.
So we are reciting this 10 offense every morning.
Yeah.
But we are not able to bring this in practice. So how can we help each other to make
practice? How you can actually bring it into practical reality, avoiding the 10 offenses? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Well, there's one very powerful formula which never fails to work. And it's called begging. You have to beg Krishna. You have to beg Guru to kindly help you to strictly avoid the 10 offenses. And you have to beg again and again and again. One should always be in the mood of begging Guru and Krishna to help one avoid the offenses. One should always feel that I am an offensive rascal. Therefore, Guru Maharaj and Krishna, I bow at your feet and I beg your blessings to please help me overcome this horrible, wretched, offensive mentality so that I can actually taste the pure nectar of the name and properly serve the Vaishnavas as they deserve to be served, which I have not been able to ever fully do. If you have a humble attitude and you're always begging Guru and Krishna and begging the Vaishnavas also to help you, then you will see this mood of being a beggar is very powerful. Prabhupada presented himself as a beggar. In his arrival prayer, he said, he signed his name, Insignificant Beggar. He told Krishna, he says, although I have been designated Bhakti Vedanta, I have no Bhakti and I have no Vedanta. You see, I have no knowledge and I have no devotion. But he simply prayed, you kindly make me dance, make me dance, make me dance as you like. He submitted himself as an insignificant beggar at the lotus feet of Krishna. One who had no knowledge and one who had no devotion. If you will study this prayer of Srila Prabhupada and put yourself into that same frame of mind by praying in that mood, I guarantee you that you will taste ever-increasing happiness every day. And you will see how your offenses against the name are gradually cleared away and the pure Shuddha Nam gradually becomes to manifest on your lips. Questions more? Okay. The disciples of the Guru are not pure and
fallen down.
And fallen down. Okay. If someone has fallen down and they are impure, they are qualified to go back to Doghead. The Guru fell down. Yes. Well, that happens sometimes. We see in our Vaishnava history that there was one guru, his name was Shukracharya, and he had a disciple, King Bali, Bali Maharaj. This was his guru, Shukracharya. So Shukracharya was always telling him very nicely, yes, you should worship Vishnu, you should worship Vishnu. And he was doing that. But then when Vishnu came as Vamana, he said, don't worship Vishnu. Don't worship him. Don't do it. You see, this Bali Maharaj, he was, when your disciple is a king, he can give very big guru dakshina. And now if the disciples, and now if Vamana takes everything away, then where is the guru dakshina? There'll be no more guru dakshina. So he was very materialistically minded. He told his disciple not to give anything to Vamana. So Kali Maharaj rejected his guru. And by rejecting his guru, what happened? He entered into that elite group known as the 12 Mahajans. You know that shloka in the Bhagavatam? What is that verse? Svayambhu Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Pralado Janako Bhishmo Bandirvaya Sikirvayam. By rejecting that bogus guru, that fallen guru, he became elevated to the 12 greatest Vaishnavas in history. So if one's guru is fallen, according to one's personal power, one can try to save one's guru also. If this person has actually helped me to become Krishna conscious, when I was in complete illusion, he preached to me about Krishna, he encouraged me to become a devotee, I'm eternally indebted to that person. Even if he falls, I'm still indebted to that person. So if I'm more Krishna conscious than he is because he fell, then if possible, I should try to help him and encourage him. Is it possible this disciple should try to save his fallen guru? Become the guru of his guru. You should try to do that. But if the guru will not hear, then what you can do, you pray for him, at least. Because there is a debt. That person did a very valuable service for me. He helped help me become a devotee of Krishna. Now he fell down after helping me. But that doesn't negate what he did. That valuable service he did is not negated. That's his eternal asset. Now it's not that if he fell away, it's not that I continue to follow him now, but I should always understand how much I am in debt to that person, always wish him well, and try to help him in any way I can to come back. If that disciple, as Prabhupada explains, the guru is not the center, the shastra is the center. Guru also is center because, in the sense that he purely presents the shastra by his example, by his attitudes and his words. In that sense, the guru is also the center. So if the disciple understands the absolute authority of the shastra, and he understands the absolute authority of the guru parampara that he was connected with, he follows those great acharyas like Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. He continues to follow the way of the great Mahajanas. He reads Prabhupada's books and follows them. He remains loyal to the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Then such a person, even if his guru fell down, if he remains completely, purely following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, then he will go back to them. Because what does his guru do? The guru told him, you must follow these books, you must read Prabhupada's books and follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. That was the perfect instruction his spiritual master gave him. Prabhupada is the greatest acharya in the history of the world. He has made Krishna bhakti more readily available than any acharya ever in the history, in these books. So the bona fide spiritual master, he connects his disciple with Srila Prabhupada's books. You read these books carefully and you follow strictly the instructions of his divine grace Srila Prabhupada. And even if that guru somehow or other falls down, because the disciple is properly instructed, he's in a safe position. But actually, guru should not fall down. That's not guru. Actually, guru should not fall down. Guru means one who is strictly following. So that's an exceptional situation. Guru means one who strictly follows and doesn't fall down. That is Guru. Sometimes in exceptional cases, Guru, for me, say someone supposed to be a Guru didn't really live up to it. But that's an exceptional situation. The general rule is Guru does not fall down.
That's
Ramini Guru. Doesn't fall down. He's solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. He's heavy. Guru means heavy in Sanskrit language. You know what Prabhupada did in Boston? He told us, he said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I won't fall down. Do you think Prabhupada is in danger of falling down? We don't think he was, but do you think Prabhupada thought he was in danger of falling down? Oh yeah. He really felt that he was in danger of falling down. And therefore he was always praying to Krishna, please protect me from falling down. And therefore he could never fall down. You see? The bona fide spiritual master always feels that he's in danger of falling down at every second. He's perfect humility. He doesn't think, oh yes, I'm very advanced, I will never fall down. As soon as one thinks that way, you're already fallen. The bona fide spiritual master feels, I'm in constant danger of falling in every second, therefore I have to constantly beg my spiritual master and Krishna, please protect me. Constantly beg. With intense, fervent prayer, Krishna, please protect me. That is the bona fide spiritual master. Because he's always in that mood. He's always afraid of falling down. And he's always begging his spiritual master and Krishna to protect him from falling down. Therefore, he will never fall down. That guru will never fall down. Only if one thinks, oh yes, now I'm advanced. I become guru. Everyone worships me. They offer me guru puja. I am advanced. He won't last long. But the spiritual master thinks, I'm in great danger. I have to constantly beg Guru and Krishna to protect me. He'll never fall. Questions? Yeah.
You say a guru is fallen if he has done something wrong. And he fell down from his position. But a guru who stands and walks with a high head,
that he's misguiding
his disciples. Is he not
fallen also? Well, guru means he's properly guided. If he's misguiding, how we can say he's guru?
There are so many.
Oh yeah, there's so many so-called gurus misguiding disciples. That's not guru. That's laghu. See, guru means heavy with Vedic knowledge. One who is representing Krishna. Laghu means light, like a feather. Flippant, blowing here and blowing there. They are called laghu, they are not called guru. These so-called gurus are laghu.
And those also who say that your rasa is this, your rasa is that in the spiritual world. And
yes, we have seen them. We met one girl when we were preaching in Alabama. And she met one Babaji at Radhakund, who told her, yes, you were such and such gopi in Krishna's Lila. So she was meditating on who she was and what she was doing. And then at night she would have illicit sex with one boy that she met. And Radhakunda having illicit sex. At the same time meditating on what gopi she was in Krishna's Lila. You see, so if you go to these bogus people who don't really properly represent the Vaishnava Siddhanta, then you will be nonsense. If you take shelter of nonsense, you will be nonsense. So if you really want, therefore we recommend everyone to come to Prabhupada movement, to be protected from so much nonsense that goes on in the name of Vaishnavism. So much nonsense is going on. Prabhupada has popularized Krishna consciousness now. But there's so much Sahaja Vaishnavism out there now. Since Prabhupada came, all this Sahaja Vaishnavism is going on. They're not purely following the actual Siddhanta of Rupa Goswami. They're concocting so many watered down versions of so-called Vaishnavism. You are such and such gopi. You don't need to chant japa. So many things, bogus things they're teaching. So we advise everyone who's interested to achieve perfection. You come to these books of Srila Prabhupada, read Prabhupada's books, follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada's books. This is the greatest Vaishnava Acharya in history who was empowered, instructed directly by Krishna to come to this world and write those books. A direct order from Krishna to Prabhupada to come here and write those books. This is not an ordinary spiritual master. This is one of the greatest spiritual masters. This is the greatest preacher of Krishna consciousness in the history of the universe. His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. If you want to get the best connection with Krishna, then become a follower of Prabhupada's movement. Become a follower of Prabhupada's movement. Read these books, follow these books. We guarantee your success if you do that. Questions more? Yes?
You said we should love other Vaishnavas. Mm-hmm. Should we love Vaishnavas who are not part of ISKCON?
Not what?
Not. But Vaishnavas.
Who are not proper?
Not
like
part of ISKCON.
Actually, a Vaishnava, he loves even a little ant. He loves even a little ant. Of course he will love everyone. He's in a human body. Actually, the Christians are also sort of Vaishnavas. They're worshipping the Supreme God. The Muslims also are Vaishnavas. They're worshipping the Supreme Lord. Allah is a name for God. Jehovah. So actually a devotee loves everything. When you love Krishna, then automatically you love everyone. We never say that those outside of ISKCON are not Vaishnavas. All we're saying is that Prabhupada's books are the best, most complete, most perfect presentation of Vaishnava philosophy in the history. That's all we're saying. This is the best connection. We don't say it's the only connection. We don't say that other people are not, you know, are not Krishna conscious. They're not a member of ISKCON. But we do say this is the best connection. That's a fact. This is absolutely the best way, the most powerful connection you can get with the process of Krishna Bhakti. Prabhupada is, no one is offering. Actually, no one even had the conception of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. They thought it was just a poetic simile. When Lord Chaitanya said, Priti vitti acha yatra nagara digram savatcha prachar hoyibi manana. They were thinking it was just some poetry that Krishna consciousness would spread all over the world. Only Srila Prabhupada had the faith in those words of Lord Chaitanya. He was criticized by his godbrothers, like anything. When he came to the West to spread Krishna consciousness. They all did. So much he was criticized. And they didn't have the vision that he had. Prabhupada is very unique. It's not that, you know, Prabhupada is on a whole different level than the others, Gaudiyas. I think Gaudiya preaches. He's in his league all of his own. He's in a league with Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati. The others are not in that league. They're not in that league. They're nowhere near that league. We don't say they're not devotees, but we have to honestly say they're not in the same level. Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they're not on that level. We love them, we offer all respect to them. I mean, I have many of them who write me. Followers of other Gaudiyas. Actually, there's some right now who they like my emails so much they want me to come and preach to them. They said, we'll collect money and buy you a ticket and come to our country and preach to us. They very much like. So if I'm not loving them, then why do they want to pay my ticket to come and preach to them? They're not part of this kind. But they like so much the way I, because I'm giving Prabhupada's mercy without any restriction to everyone. See, Prabhupada gave his unrestricted mercy to everyone, and I'm his disciple, I'm doing the same thing. You can be an ISKCON person, you can be somebody else's disciple, I don't make any distinction. You can be a member of Baptist church, I have a Baptist minister who's my student. What to speak of other, Chaitanyaites. Even a Baptist minister is taking my course. And he's very inspired by what I'm doing and how I deal with him in a very loving way. So, my modus operandi is to give that pure, unrestricted, pure love that Prabhupada is showering on me at every minute. I'm just trying to be a pure conduit for that love of Srila Prabhupada to everyone I meet. I don't ask of what organization do you belong to. I just see here as a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, that unlimited love that I'm getting from Prabhupada, let me try to purely represent that to that person. That's it, finished. There's no discrimination. I don't care what organization you belong to. You're part and parcel of Krishna. But if you ask me, what is the best program for going back to home, back to Godhead? I'm not going to tell you, it's all one. That whatever you do, it's the same. I'm going to tell you, your best chance of becoming a pure devotee is to read Srila Prabhupada's books, and carefully follow the instructions in Srila Prabhupada's books. That's what I'm going to tell you. Your best, that's my love for you. That's my unconditional love for you. You understand? Any other questions? Yes.
Goes to Godhead or Godhead. So that means that applies to gurus also because they are also disciples of someone.
What is it?
You said disciples of fall, they go to Godhead instead of Godhead.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying that, so that will happen, apply to the guru who falls down too, he's also a disciple of someone.
That's right.
Then it will also be the case for the guru who falls down, because he's also a disciple of his guru.
Guru falls down, he is also a disciple of his guru. So he will also go to Godhead.
No. If we fall down, then that's a great burden on our spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada told us actually. He said that actually the spiritual master has to rescue the disciple. So we should be very careful once we take shelter of a guru that we do not fall down. I'll give you an example. I read this just the other day. I'm absolutely amazed. There is a great Vaishnava, his name is Bilvo Mangala Thakur. He's also known as Suradas. He lived for 700 years in Vrindavan. Now, in his previous lifetime, he was a disciple of a guru. And he advanced so far, he achieved the bhava stage of Krishna consciousness, which is just below perfections, prema. But because he wasn't completely perfect, he actually took birth again as a wealthy family, and he became carried away by wine and women. And he had a girlfriend a prostitute girlfriend named Chintamani. And it was a stormy night, and he said, I became very lusty to enjoy with his girlfriend, even though there was a horrible storm going on, the river was swollen. He went down in the dark night with a raging river and grabbed a hold of a log and went across the river. It turned out to be a corpse he grabbed onto to get across the river. It was a floating corpse. Then he got finally to Chintamani's house. The gate was locked. And he was grabbing on some vines to climb over the wall to get into Chintamani. Actually, it turns out that he was grabbing a hold of snakes and he didn't care. He just had to get to Chintamani. And he finally got to his beloved girlfriend. Now I can enjoy. And she said, what is this? You're so much coming after this blood and flesh. If you could only be so dedicated to Krishna, then how much better off you would be. And he came to this realization. Ah, yes, what have I done? And he actually went to Vrindavan and gave up on this life of the sense enjoyment. But you know who Chintamani actually was? That shocked me. I never read this before. She was actually his guru in the previous lifetime. His spiritual master took birth as a prostitute and was having an illicit affair with him just to save him. Just see what the spiritual master did to save his disciple from a degraded life. He actually became a prostitute. So we should never put our spiritual master into difficulty by not seriously taking to this pathway, having to force him to take some very awkward birth to save us from a very awkward situation. We should do everything possible to purify ourselves for going back to home, back to Godhead in this very lifetime. Very, very careful we must be. Now, did I answer the question or not? But that answered it? Well, our time is going over time now. And we'll have another seminar on Monday night, to be in topic to be announced. Tomorrow will be our regular Sunday feast programs. And then Monday night there'll be another seminar at 7, and then all week long. I think, well, Monday, I'll announce it now. Preaching is the Essence will be Monday night's seminar. And any other topics that are coming in, you can submit them to Jaivam Prabhu. And we'll see if we can add them to the schedule. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Suva Vaishnavas ki jai.